Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, I'm Puma. We're so glad that you joined us today.
Yes, welcome back.
In the middle of summer.
Ugh, summer. Yeah. Puma, what do we talk about in this podcast?
Oh, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
There it is. Yep. Yep.
And so what we're talking about in between Jesus and life, which is everything, is really kind of our series on the names of God. Mm-hmm. And last time we kind of introduced, you know, this topic of what, you know, what's in a name. And this the names that I identify and, you know, specify things about the person, identity,
yeah,
those kinds of things. And the reason why we're going through this series is really God created us for a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Created us for a relationship. He wants to know us and wants us to know him. And
yeah,
you know, he knows everything about us, but he wants us to know him. So Tori, what is our theme verse?
Yeah. Our theme verse is Psalm 9:10. And those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Yes, those who know your name will trust in you. And so when you get to know somebody, the more you get to know them, the more you trust them.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I know your experience of knowing some people, you know, and you're like, ew.
Yeah,
the more I know, the less I like you.
Yeah, you know, it's a name. I got married, and I had children.
I'm here.
Yes, the relationship between my wife and I did not start off very, we actually started like a negative relational territory.
Oh no.
So I remember in college, I saw her and was not very impressed from afar. Apparently she saw me like the first hour and actually sat and had lunch with me right across the table. I didn't even see her, so she thought I was a jerk.
Oof-da.
Really didn't know each other's names per se, but about a week or two later, we had some kind of a campus activity, and that's a really long story to sum it up. And, you know, I had seen her face, didn't know her name, and she apparently was not really keen on me either. And so we ended up being by each other, and, you know, so I'm looking at her, and she knew my name, and now she put my name to the face, and she was not impressed. And she did something that surprised me a little bit. You know what that was, Tori?
What was it?
Well, she told me her name.
Oh. So she's like, hey, I'm Mindy.
Yeah, she said, like, say, yeah, I'm Mindy. And I'm like, oh, that's a nice name. Now, she could have, what she could have done is, oh, ooh, it's you. And I could have said, hey, what's your name? And she could have said, I don't know. I'm not going to give it to you, loser.
None of your business.
Yeah. You know, now that would be rejection, right?
Right.
But when she told me her name, what was she doing?
Well, she was opening up an invitation to be your friend.
Too. Yeah. When you share your name with somebody, I mean, we've done this before. We've talked with strangers in the street or whatever, and we'll have a conversation, and then you just kind of leave. But you ever get to a point, you know, you're talking to someone that you just met, and when they finally say, oh, by the way, my name is Bob, or my name is whatever, that is the invitation, they're opening the door to say, hey, I am willing to let you get to know me. You know, it's a very personal thing.
Yep. And just this past week, actually, my wife and I had a supper with our friends, and the waiter there didn't have a name tag. And it's so amazing how many times people just don't use the waiter's name. So I asked the waiter, like, hey, you know, what's your name? He goes, oh, I'm Scott. And from that moment on, our service was like 10 times better. And I was so surprised just asking someone, hey, what's your name? You know, you're not just my waiter. You're not just someone who's serving me. I'm not just paying you, but I actually care about your name. And I was just surprised. It was a great experience. But yeah, there's something about asking someone's name. And when they give it, it makes things, one, it lightens the tension, but there's a room for growth relationally. You know, you're no longer just a client or some type of, you know, I don't know, I'm paying you to feed me. But there's room for real relationship.
Yeah. Well, and as we're talking about the names of God, right, the names of God, and in the Bible, there's a lot of different names or titles that are attached to God, and all of them really highlight parts of his personality, character, who he is. It's ways that God has chosen to allow us to get to know him. But when we think of God, God is just a category, right? God. It's right.
Sure, yeah.
You know, God is not God's name. It's just a category of, you know, like if I say man, Right. Just a category. God is just a category. You know, today we're going to look at, you know, really the one of the most personal names that God chose to use. I mean, does God have a name? Just think, I mean, just that question. Does God have a name? I mean, because you're a man. Right. I'm a man. But you also have a name.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Tori. I have a name. You know, Puma. We have names. Does God have a name? And so we're going to jump into that as God shares his personal name today.
Yeah. Well, let's dive in. All right, Puma. So, yeah, let's dive into this concept of the creator of the universe having a personal name.
Having a personal name. And so we're going to actually jump into the Old Testament.
Let's go.
You know, not that it's like old and antiquated, but it's just, it's, you know, the beginnings. And really, for God to reveal himself to people, and specifically to a specific group of people, you know, we'll go way back in Genesis. Like Genesis 12, where God chose one man, Abram, and we'll just call him Abraham, so we all are familiar. Yeah, Abraham, and says, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to make a great nation out of you. The whole world is going to be blessed because of you, and you know your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sand of the seashore, the stars in the sky." You get to chapter 15 of Genesis, and God says, "You know, I'm making this covenant with you, this relationship with you." And your descendants. And he says something really interesting. He says your descendants are going to go to a foreign land. They're going to live there for 400 plus years. They're going to be mistreated. They're going to be abused. And after that time, I am going to bring them out of that land.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically, I'm going to create a nation from your descendants. And so if you fast forward to Exodus, right? So now the Exodus. And, you know, what's the big idea, the big storyline of Exodus?
Well, the people of Israel exit from their captivity.
Okay, exit. Yeah, they exit from their captivity in Egypt. Over 400 years, you know, the end of Genesis, you know, talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Abraham had a son, Isaac. Isaac had a son, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons and their families. They end up going down to Egypt because of a famine.
Yeah.
And really part of God's design. And while they're in Egypt, you know, these 12 families turned into hundreds of thousands, if not million plus people over 400 years. And over that time, you know, as they are existing in Egypt, new pharaohs come that aren't so, you know, happy with them. And so they end up abusing them, enslaving them.
Yeah.
And the people are crying out, you know, God, if there is a God, if, you know, if you're real or whatever, can you help us? Can you help us? And this is where, you know, we turn to Exodus chapter 3, which is just really an amazing, amazing passage.
Yeah.
So what happens in Exodus 3?
Well, Exodus 3 is where some call it the burning bush, you know, chapter where God, right, you know, Moses is 80 years old. He's a shepherd in Midian, and God appears to him, calls him through a burning bush.
Now, just a little, can I, little caveat there.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it doesn't matter how old we get, men always like fire, right? Yeah, if you see a bush on fire and it's not burning up, you got to stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Even if you're watching sheep, you got to go see what's going
on. Fire is always cool.
It's just, yeah, that's just stuff that's always cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So God, you know, and it's interesting because it says that an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of the fire. So God descends in fire-like fashion to this bush, doesn't burn up. Moses goes toward this bush, and then God speaks to him, and it's beautiful. And Puma, may I read just these verses here?
Yes, yeah.
I'll start at verse 7, because I think this is so foundational, right? So, you know, Moses realizes God's here, takes off his sandals, holy ground. And let me go back to verse 6. Then he, being God, says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this moment, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And I love verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Verse 8, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he goes over the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hittites, Jebusites.
Parasites.
You know, and it's great. I'm going to go to verse 10. So now go, God is sending. I am sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. I mean, that's just amazing. Yeah, it's so much there.
Yeah, so God comes to Moses, and yeah, he says he's heard, he's seen, he's been concerned. Mm-hmm. Just what he said to Abraham, you know, 400 plus years earlier, yeah. that your descendants will go to a foreign land and they'll be mistreated and enslaved, but I will bring them out mm-hmm. of that land.
Yeah.
And this is exactly, so God has been watching over them, right? Mm-hmm. But Moses doesn't know who God is. Mm-hmm. I mean, where has he been living? His whole, you know, his whole life, he grew up in Egypt,
yep.
right? And who are the gods that he would know in Egypt? Yeah, Ra and all these, you know.
Right, all these the Nile gods. River. And...
Yeah. Well, you know, then he spends 40 years, you know, in Midian and doing that. And they had their own, you know, kind of local gods.
Mm-hmm.
But who is this God that's speaking to him out of the burning bush? And he says he's the God of our forefathers. He's the God who appeared to Abraham. Mm-hmm. He's the God who appeared to Isaac. He's the God who appeared to Jacob. He is the God of our forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a God that Moses doesn't know.
Yeah.
He's not familiar with this God.
Right. His whole life, he's really had pagan gods, gods of Egyptians, the gods of Midian.
Yeah. I mean, everyone had this... understanding that we are people and we are not God, right? Mm-hmm. So, but we appeal to gods for, you know, for rain and for fertility and for all of life, that there's some kind of higher supernatural power that has to be mm-hmm. orchestrating and watching over. And, you know, and so every people group in the known world had their local gods or their national gods. Mm. And so that whether it's the Philistines had their gods or the Egyptians had their gods or the Canaanites had their gods. And the Bible speaks to a lot of these different quote unquote gods mm. that the different nations worshiped.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's this massive group of people in Egypt that's being enslaved, and they are now their own distinct people group.
Yeah.
In fact, here in Exodus 3, they're called the Hebrews, right? Yep. They're this people group. Well, who is the God of this people group?
Hmm.
You see, God comes to Moses. He has seen, he has heard, he is concerned of with his people.
Yeah, he's my people. That's crazy.
He says, you guys are my people because I made a promise to Abraham, hmm. Isaac, and Jacob that I would be their God and they and their descendants would be my people. Hmm. I would be their God. And so Moses is like, oh, well, wow, who are, wow. So you're the God of our ancestors? Hmm. I mean, every people group has their national God, but who are we? We're just a bunch of slaves. We don't have our national God or our God.
Hmm.
And so God appears to him and says, yeah, this is who I am. I'm the God of your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But still, it's very generic, right?
Right.
It's just a category. It's just the God. And so what's interesting is God says to him, I want you to go back to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell them that the God of our ancestors, Abraham and Isaac, has met with us, and to go say, hey, you know, let him go. Verse, you know, 12, God says, I'll be with you, you know. And then Moses asks the question. He says, verse 13, suppose I go to the Israelites, and I say, the God of your ancestors has sent me to rescue you guys, and they ask me, what is his name? God, what should I say? What's your name?
Hmm.
You know, I just can't say God. I mean, because every God had a name.
Right.
You know, I mean, God is a category. God's not a name. Mm-hmm. So every God had a name, and the name was tied to specific things. And so if they ask, well, how do we know, Moses, that you actually talked to the God of our ancestors? Does he have a name?
Right.
What's his name?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he doesn't have a name, then it's just some generic whatever.
Right. Is he really a God?
Is he really real? Is he really real? And what's interesting is God says, oh, I'll tell you my name.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my name. You know, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, that I am has sent me to you. And then he goes on and he gets really specific. All right. Verse 15. It says, God said to them, say to the Israelites, the Lord, and this is the word Yahweh.
Mm.
Many of us have probably heard the name Yahweh. He says, this is what you say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. You see, this first name of God that we're looking at is literally the name Yahweh.
Hmm.
God says to Moses, hey, Moses, come here. Hey, come here. You want to know my name? I'm going to tell you my name. Okay? I'm going to tell you my name. I'm not going to tell my name to the Philistines. I'm not going to tell my name to the Egyptians. I'm not going to tell my name to the Canaanites because they don't know me. They don't have a relationship with me. Mm. But so that you and my people understand that I am the God who knows you, who loves you, has been concerned of seeing with you. I'm the God that has come down to you. You are my people and I am your God. Here is the name by which you can know me, my personal, if you're going to say my familial name, my name is Yahweh.
Yeah.
I am the God who exists. I am the God. I'm Yahweh.
Yeah.
Which is just a pretty amazing to me that God would kind of say, hey, here's what my name.
Right. Well, the Lord, or Yahweh, this is an invitation. I mean, he is coming down. I love how he's like, hey, I've been watching you. I'm not been creeping on you. I'm watching because I love you. I'm concerned. I made a promise to your ancestors. You are my people. I love how God says, you are my people. And Moses has like probably, what? My people?
Yeah, like, my people?
I don't know who you are. Who is my people?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he knew he was a Hebrew, but he grew up as a prince in Egypt. You know, he's been a shepherd in the land of Midian. Does he even have a people? I mean, it's just amazing to me that God reaffirms his identity. No, you are my people. Let me remind you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this is who you are. You are my people. It's just so cool.
Yeah, see, Yahweh knew everything about the Israelites, but he wanted the Israelites to know him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, two things when he shares his name. This is really God's personal name. You can say this is his family name, or the, like, you know, when we have our family, you know, names that just within the family,
right?
That's
more intimate,
more very intimate. It speaks relationship that people outside the family don't use that name, but inside the family they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple things. You know, one, God is communicating to Moses and to the Israelites that I am your personal God. I'm personal. I'm relational. I am your personal God. And it really was God saying, hey, you know, I'm inviting you into this relationship. Mm. I know you and I want you to know me. I relate to you. I want you to relate to me.
Yeah.
So it was an invitation to relationship. It was, you know, when you shared your name with somebody, you're sharing your whole self.
Right. You're being vulnerable.
You're being vulnerable. God is saying, I am sharing my whole self with you. Now, I am so beyond your capability to understand that I'm going to reveal myself over time and situations. Yeah. But God's basically saying, when he shared his name with them, he said, I am all in. Mm. All of me is with you. Yeah. I'm sharing my whole self with you. And the other thing that God was saying to them, you know, it was, you know, related to the verb to be or to exist. He says, not only am I your personal God, but I am a living, I am the actual God. I am real. Right? Yeah. I'm real. I'm a real God, right? Mm. This bush was not a magic trick. I am like a real God who exists, who has always existed. I'm eternal. I exist.
Right.
So you can go back to, you know, the Israelites. And if they say, hey, what's the name of our God, right? Because Egypt has the names of their gods. And we're going to have a God that's going to be our national God, because in that day and culture, really it was gods who fought one another.
That's true.
So the nations were just proxies. Mm-hmm. So every nation had their national God or gods. And then when nation would conquer nation, when they go to war with each other, it was really the gods that were at war with each other. And the nation that won, it was really saying, my God is the one that wins.
Right.
My God is the one that's all powerful.
Yep.
And so Moses is like, our God has to have a name. Mm. And he says, my name is Yahweh. I am all in. I am with you. I am your personal God. I'm the God who you know, spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I am the real God. I exist. And you can basically bank on that. That's why in Psalm 9:10, it says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, and the word there is Yahweh, for you, Yahweh, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Yeah.
In other words, Moses, you can cash all your chips in here. you can lay it all on the line. Mm-hmm. I am the God who's known you guys. I've watched over you. I'm concerned. I've come down. I'm fulfilling my promise because I have never been away from you.
Yeah.
I am the God of your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. And now here I am. I'm revealing myself to you. I'm inviting you into this relationship. I exist. I am real. And I'm going to demonstrate that over the rest of your life.
Yeah. God is 100% invested. And he's always been invested, but now he's opening up Moses and really the Hebrews, as we'll see later, he's opened himself up. I want you to be 100 invested in me. And again, not because God needs us. I mean, what does Israel bring to the table? Nothing. But God is saying, I'm willing to shoulder and to come alongside you in such a personal way that your battles, your strife, your hurts, they're going to be mine. I've always loved you. I've watched over you for 400 years. And now I'm inviting you to know me in a way like no other nation has. I'm coming. I kind of view this word as the Yahweh is the name that made God, didn't make God, but where God chooses to come down on the human level. He's always been above. He's always been in charge. He is now personally relating to mankind.
Right, which is so uniquely different than all the other quote-unquote gods of all the other nations. All the other gods are high and lofty and expect to be, you know, high and lofty, exalted. And don't misunderstand, our God is one who is high and lofty and deserves all praise and worship and honor. He is holy. But the picture that God gives is almost one of like a father bending down to his three-year-old, you know, kid who just fell and scraped their knee and is sitting there in the dirt crying, and God comes down, you know, the father bends down and wipes the dirt off and says, "It's okay, I'm your daddy.
Yeah.
I'm your daddy. I got you. It's gonna be okay.
Right.
All you need to do is just trust me. Mm-hmm. Right? It's gonna be all right." And then the little three-year-old looks up and so it is God who comes down, not because he is a low God, but he comes down out of a loving relationship, you know, which is different than all the other gods of all the other nations. This is why, you know, Yahweh was so distinct. And see, this is why we're doing this series on the names of God, because it wasn't just God revealing himself to Israel, but he's also revealing himself to you and me.
Yeah.
Because his desire was for all the nations to know who he is in a personal way. But most people don't want to get to know God, right?
Right.
Who are you?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Who
yeah.
are you? And why should we care about you? What have you ever done for us? Mm. I don't want a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And God is screaming that for you and me. And we'll see as we go through all the different names of God, how much God wants us to know who he is so that, as Psalm 9:10 says, those who know your name and the name of God and all the different names of God create this beautiful picture of a God who knows us, loves us, relates to us, wants us to relate to him.
Yeah. I love, and I think this word, this name, this title, which is so funny because when I think of a title, I think high and lofty. This is a title that makes him so close and personal. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the verse Isaiah 41:13, where God says to Israel, "For I am the Lord," it's the word Yahweh, "for I am Yahweh, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you." That imagery of God bending down and taking our hand, you know, it's not even like, oh, I'm going to drag you around. That is a gentle, that is a all-powerful God choosing to withhold and restrain his might just to be near us.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It is. And we're going to see this all the way through because Well, little spoiler alert, we're going to finish with Jesus and Emmanuel at the end. Because the names just add on, pile on more and more of this image, this perspective that the creator of the universe, Almighty God the Bible speaks of, the God behind the words of the Bible, is the true living God. And he's shown himself to Israel, and now he's shown himself to us, that you and I can have this personal relationship with God, and it manifests through faith in Jesus. I mean, we could spend a whole other podcast series on just on just that.
We really
can. You know, when Jesus says in John 14, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father," or "you've seen God. If you've seen me, you've seen Yahweh."
Yeah.
You've seen Yahweh in action.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too far into that, but that's coming. So
yeah. Well, Puma, what's a good AQ for us as we kind of highlighted and just look at a few verses of just, you know, Yahweh introducing himself, this name of the almighty creator of the universe. He says, "Call me by this name, Yahweh."
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. Gone over this many times, but I love Psalm 9:10. You know, those who know your name will trust in you. You know, oftentimes we don't trust God in life situations because we don't know him. Mm. I mean, if we really understood how much he's for us and not against us, if we really understood, like Israel, if they really understood that he's been watching over them for over 400 years, if they really understood that he saw everything that happened, if you really understood that he heard everything that happened, if they really understood that he is able to rescue and he's going to make it right and he's going to do something even more glorious than they could even imagine, if they really understood that that was his heart, of which his name is a reflection of that, that they would trust him more. Mm. See, for you and I and for all of us listening, we have situations all the time where, you know, we question, does God care? Is God concerned? Yeah. Is he even aware? And we hear stuff in the news going on all the time. The world's going crazy. And, you know, our heart goes out to all kinds of hurt and whatnot. And it's a natural question. God, do you really exist? And do you care about me? And this name Yahweh just screams that, yeah, I exist. And I absolutely care about you. I'm the God that knows everything about you. The question is, do you really want to get to know me? Mm-hmm. You know, for an application question, do we really want to get to know God? Because trust is really the currency of relationships. Mm-hmm. And often we don't trust because we really don't know God's heart. Yeah. And God's heart is reflected through the different names that we're going to look at. And in this name here, God says, I'm personal. I want a relationship with you. Do you really believe it? Do you trust me? You know, that I really care about you and want you to know me.
Yeah.
It's a question we should probably ask ourselves today. You know, to what degree do I really trust God? And is it because I really don't know and understand him?
Mm.
And do I want to get to know him?
Yeah. Do you trust God enough to pursue to know him more? He knows you completely. I mean, God knows you completely and still wants a relationship with you. So do we trust that kind of God? And do we trust that God enough to want to know who he is really?
Right. And this is the God of the Bible, not the God of the Old Testament, not the God of the New Testament. This is the God who's revealed himself from beginning to end in his word. You know, it's not like God is schizophrenic. I get so irritated with people thinking, oh, the God of the Old Testament and New Testament are different. No, God's loving heart is seen, his merciful heart is seen from the very beginning of the page of the Bible all the way to Revelation.
Yeah.
And but God says, yeah, my name is Yahweh. This is the name by which I am to be remembered by my people.
Yes.
I am the God who invites you into a relationship and knows you and loves you and wants you to trust me.
Yeah. No, that's good. Well, thank you, Puma. And thank you guys for joining us. I'm so excited for this series. I know we're starting this one, but it's so good. And I need to be reminded of these names, that the God who died for me is the God who says, my name is Yahweh. That is, it's a game changer. No other God is as personal as God is, and this name just highlights that. And guys, if you have any questions or concerns, please email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys and touch base with questions you may have and maybe even answer them here on the podcast. Guys, tune in next week or next time, Fridays at 10:10. Until then, guys, bye.
Bye-bye.